This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, I'm very excited about our next guest here on Pomp and Joe. Pomp is out on the West Coast golfing. Glad he's getting a reprieve from me, basically. I'm happy for him. Aren't you, Limits?
Yeah, everybody needs a break here and there.
So I mentioned that I had an epic television watching weekend. Everything from Elvis's 1968 appearance on NBC to Bohemian Rhapsody, a miraculous musical biopic on Freddie Mercury and Queen. But the thing that stood out the most, I woke up yesterday morning, had been meaning to watch this. It came out in 2023 and finally did. And it was goosebump stuff. It was Air, starring Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Matt Damon as Sonny Vaccaro. And it's very difficult to talk about the rise of all-star basketball showcases and camps, the marketing of the American athlete, the rise of Nike, or the rise of NIL without talking to our next guest, who is Sonny Vaccaro, Trafford's very own Sonny Vaccaro. And it turns out today, City Limits here just tells me that it's Michael Jordan's 62nd birthday today, and that Sonny is coming out with a book very shortly titled Legends and Souls, The Memoir of an American Original. Sonny, what a pleasure to have you today. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm talking to Trafford, and we picked up a lot of people just today's show, Joe. Also, it's my wife's birthday today. Her and Michael shared the same birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
So he used to send her happy birthday cards, and she used to send him happy birthday cards for many years. So Tammy's celebrating her. I won't sell it, and she's a young lady yet, and I don't want to expose whatever it is. But being on your show, and when I got the call this morning, I was ecstatic about it, and I talked to all of the people in traffic. But let's talk about whatever it is you want to talk about on air.
Okay, we shall. And it's very exciting to have you on the air. You're on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Sonny Vaccaro, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, Sonny, I need some questions answered from the movie because I became obsessed with it as a huge basketball fan. So in one... Yep. In one scene, and the movie, for people out there, this is simply the story of Sonny, on behalf of Nike, landing Michael Jordan to a sneaker deal back after the, what was it, the 1984 NBA draft, where Jordan was the third pick. So it was no sure thing, believe it or not, back then. And Nike wasn't really deep in the basketball business yet and was considered to have no chance. Sonny made it happen. Matt Damon played Sonny. Here's my first question. There's a scene in it where you, Matt Damon, is looking at Michael Jordan's game-winning shot against Georgetown in the NCAA final. He was a freshman. And you keep rewinding it. Matt Damon keeps rewinding it. And what stands out to him, Sonny, is how relaxed and how confident Michael was before he got the ball. You focused in on that. Did that really happen? What really?
No,
what
here's
really
what happened?
Okay.
Here's what happened, Joe. I was at the game in '84. I was there. I was a big Georgetown thing. Georgetown was a Nike school, you know, that's what they called it. Michael Jordan, I never knew. He didn't play in the Dapper Dan because he wasn't the best player in the state of North Carolina. Michael never wore a Nike shoe. I never knew or cared about Michael. What is the miracle here, and it was, and it is, till my death, is I saw Michael make that shot live and in person for 17 seconds, the whole program. I never saw Michael again until I met him, you know, when we met in '84 to talk about it. But what I had was a emotional attachment to the brain on this, on that site. I never thought I'd be involved in picking a Michael Jordan for Nike. That was never my job before then. What I'm telling your public is, now, they had to make the movie scene. It was the writer and Matt Damon that thought of, how can we do this? We can't just say Sonny saw him for 17 seconds. It doesn't add, you know, a mystery to it. So Matt and the writer come up with the theory, we're going to show the film. That was the official film. So when Matt explained that, and you are right, and probably your listeners are right, in just assuming that's what happened. But to be honest, Joe, that's what happened in my mind for 18 seconds. I never forgot it. I never will. And for some reason, I have the ability to do that. So that story is true, but I didn't use that to convince Matt. Matt and, you know, and Alex Convoy, the writer on the script, thought of that scene.
Okay, so it was simply watching Michael take that shot, because it seemed, at least from the movie, that you were taking an awfully big risk for yourself and for Nike as a company to say, you've got to get this guy. It was simply because you thought he was great?
No, I thought he was special. There's no question. Joe, and your audience, and Trafford, and Pickett, and everywhere else, okay? The audience was, I had no idea I'd be invited to that. So the first scene where you're watching Rob Strasser, you know, doing it, that was my boss at that time. I was the last guy invited. I never had anything to do with pro basketball. My job was to put the shoes on the feet of the college coaches so the high school kids who are now in college will wear the shoe. That's how Nike survived. At one time, we had all four teams in the NCAA tournament. So when they invited me, it was unbelievable. That was the first miracle. The second miracle is there were nine people in there who were totally opposed to me. I did not live. I never lived more than 3 days in my life of 11 years or whatever heck time was that I worked for Nike. Never. I'd go in the morning. I'd come back the next night probably. So that whole thing is mystical. But the truth is, I did say, I'll bet my job. I was making $500 a month at that time, which is a lot of money for me. Pam and I had just gotten married, which was the most important thing to me. So it was not on my mind. So historically, what you're listening to in your audience now is, it's something improbable. It was the most improbable thing that ever could happen in the marketing world, because Michael Jordan changed the world.
Okay, we have Sonny Vaccaro on the line. Here's my next question. Something that really stood out, David Falk was Jordan's agent, and he was telling you, at least in the movie, you have no chance. So you take the very bold move against Falk's orders and against all sort of, the rules of the day.
Right.
You drive down to Wilmington, North Carolina, and show up at the Jordan's house. Did that really happen?
Okay. That did not happen the way it was portrayed. I never drove, but what upset, but it was more dramatic that I'd be there and spend time there because of another scene. But what I did was when I left Michael that day, I knew I had to get hold of Mom. Falk was so protective, and why wouldn't he be? Nike was an afterthought, and he really, you know, he only took my call because John Thompson was one of my best friends, and he represented Thompson. So the scene you see later where we're basically squaring, I didn't square like that, but he did as much. That scene happened. Then the scene in the book where we come to grips with Mrs. Jordan coming there. I, this is Jordan and Mr. Jordan were the determining efforts of Michael Thing. David was the man who, you know, created the deal. So just for your audience, Mrs. Jordan was that important. The last scene in the thing where her son and all that stuff, that was all, you know, done in person. That was reality. That happened. They, you know, the shoot. Go ahead. I know you're on a time to go, so hopefully that helped a little bit.
This is incredible. And for anyone who saw the movie, but just in general, the story of how you landed Michael Jordan, I mean, it's amazing. So here's my next question. They depicted Jordan and his parents coming all the way out to, you know, the middle of Oregon and showing up at the Nike headquarters. Jordan didn't want to be there, apparently. And then it showed things not going well with the pitch that you guys were making. You're starting to show a little promotional video, and you stand up. In your case, Matt Damon stands up and says, forget this. Turns off the video and makes an unbelievable speech to the Jordans. Did you make that? Is that what happened?
Let me say this, and this is gospel, okay? I have and I did make speeches, you know, to them. There's no question. I've been making speeches all my life, you know, and words come out of my mouth that aren't, you know, done on paper. So when Matt did the scene, obviously he took, you know, embellished it, whatever, but that those words were said. That was said. There was a commitment to whatever it was, you know, that we are trying to prove. So the meeting was basically everything was set. The money was, Mrs. Jordan knew what was going to money, you know, Falk knew what the money was going to be, all that stuff. But there still had to be a final. A final was the Jordan family signed the darn contract, which we all agreed to. And then it was signed later once it had been, you know, once we went to Chicago. But the deal was said, and on that message, not as eloquent as, you know, Matt said. I thought that, that, you know, it was dramatic, but I just give you my word that I've said those words somehow, and they put it on the screen pretty damn good. And just so you know, again, I did not swear 2,000 times. Matt and Ben got the idea, hell, this is a good show. Let's do it again. They went back three times to get that thing. It lasted like 90 seconds in real life. I mean, but I'll tell you what, that scene resonated also because there was not a friendly atmosphere. And I really, you know, still to this day, you know, David and I, well, I haven't seen him in years, but that happened. But the Jordan, Mrs. Jordan was very, very influential, yes.
Okay. So Mrs. Jordan then becomes the key to the whole deal and perhaps to player marketing in every sport in the future. I mean, at the end, they showed that Michael Jordan makes tens of millions of dollars every year in passive, you know, salary just from being involved because of this. Because it showed you're about to clinch the deal. And his mom, when you're on the phone with her, says, oh, by the way, Michael, we want Michael to have a piece of every sneaker that's sold. That if that happened the way that it's portrayed, that changed sports marketing forever. Did that happen? How reluctant were you guys to do that part of the deal? And it changed everything, right?
Well, it changed everything. But Mrs. Jordan, when you got to the last scene, which was more dramatic and whatever, she already knew we were doing it. She demanded it. She was in charge of it. Rob Strasser and Falk put the deal together. What we had to do on that final day was make sure they signed it because I was the only person that Nike ever to see Michael once I saw him there. I mean, none of the other characters spent time with Michael Jordan until they came to Oregon. See, that's the part that the public sort of misses. So all the BS about whether I was this or whether I was, you know, I saw him at the hotel that when they or at the restaurant. Then I didn't see him again till then. But no one from Nike saw him. So that message, and then when Peter Moore came in with the red thing, that happened. That's the way it was. Everybody, you know, people forget. You know, the wings were it wasn't the dunk man. It was the wings that were the first thing, and then Peter drew the famous, you know, now that's the most significant signature in the world, that the jump man. So to answer your question, She knew she was a major thing. But until that last day, no one signed anything yet. I mean, so, yes, that was pretty damn close to being the truth, but we agreed on it before she got there.
But the important thing there is, prior to that, athletes in any sport, when they were marketing an item like sneakers, did not get a share in the sale of each item. Was that her idea? She introduced that to American sports?
Well, it wasn't certainly. I didn't think of that. All I thought of when I suggested to, you know, Sue Knight and Rob and to that crew was against me was, if you're going to do it, do it with this one kid that can, you know, be this superstar. I didn't know he was going to become that. I just knew he was extra special. So we agreed upon it. But listen, Michael Jordan may or may not be the greatest player in the world, which I think he will always be. I don't go into that stuff. But what he did for America and for every athlete living, including the girls right now, like Caitlin, okay, he created a marketing setup for the athlete. So now, today, you know, a lot of guys after Michael had their own shoe against them, with them. They had their own. The girls had their own shoes. They have shoes in volleyball now. But it was Jordan that did that. He marketed. He taught. He told the companies, pay me, play me, and then show me. And that's what he did. He created a multi-zillion dollar, what the hell the next thing is, you know. And only Jordan could have done that. Only Jordan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I had another question right after that. So you signed the deal, and then, oh, was the fines on the sneakers, was that real? Where they said, yes, you can't put that much red on a sneaker. It's got to be mostly white, but we'll pay your fines. Did that ever come to fruition?
God is my judge. Yes, it did. And Rob Strasser stood up in front of everybody. And at that time, David Stern, I believe, was whoever it was, the commission, I think it was David, we called their bluff, and they took it off after a game or two. They didn't have to. They just caved in and allowed it to happen. But Peter, the red thing, that happened. I mean, he did design that. But the logo is, if you watch the end of the movie, that number is unbelievable. And it's bigger now. I mean, at the All-Star game this weekend, they had a big sign of Michael, however they do it today, all over, on the ocean out there in San Francisco. Jordan is marketing. I mean, there's no question what that man did in the marketing thing. No question. He opened the door for everybody. And I was proud to be a part of it and proud to be a part of Michael's life. But the world changed with Michael Jordan.
Last one on the movie. And again, we're talking to Sonny Vaccaro, who obviously was portrayed by Matt Damon in the movie Air. I just saw it this weekend, was blown away. Turns out it's Michael Jordan's 62nd birthday today, along with Sonny's wife's birthday today. And just so happens, Sonny has a book coming out pretty much momentarily here called Legends and Souls, The Memoir of an American Original. Why doesn't Jordan speak in the movie? Did he not want anyone to portray him? Why don't we see him and we only hear from him like one word once or twice? Why is that?
Because Ben thought, and it was a genius, if he put Michael in the movie, everybody would be waiting for him to play in one of those games and watch all about Michael. So he made the story about what happened with the people around Michael and not Michael. If Michael shows up in this movie, and Ben explained it to Pam and I when we met with Peter Gould to go over the agreement we are part of the movie. I was put on as a consultant. My only consulting I was, I made sure that that Matt knew everything about Sonny Vaccaro. I spent time with him. Pam and I spent a whole day on the set with the whole crew. We did the commercials, the interviews I did, with Matt. But my point to you that we're making here, everything that Peter did and Rob did in this movie happened, and the signing was, unbelievable. But Peter actually did those things. What you heard, you saw the character, playing Peter. That happened. All that did have, that was verbatim. That was as close as you get to the actual thing happening. There was a meeting. They didn't see it until they got there. We finally showed them the shoe when they got there. That was awfully true. But it was the most unlikely. No one will ever make that journey again because you can't make it up anymore.
My friend here, Austin Bechtold, and I would have to agree, says it's the most famous symbol, insignia, logo in the history of sports is the Air Jordan, holding the ball up with one hand with the legs, split and jumping. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And Peter Moore did it. Yes, I do. Because I saw it. I saw the evolution from this, it looked like an airplane pilot used to wear those wings on their left vest, on their suit. That's what the person was. Then when Peter, it was Michael that we had, Peter Moore created that design. And that design, as I said at the end of the movie, if you watch it again, it's the most popular design in the world. And obviously because Michael Jordan still lives, and that's who it is. They know the Jumpman. That's it. It's unbelievable.
Okay, I have one more. David Falk, the agent, said that he, or at least in the movie, said, hey, I came up with the idea Air Jordan for those sneakers. Whose idea was it, Sonny?
Well, David used those words when we were changing it from the thing. David actually did that. So in the movie, I was there when Matt told me this, and I won't say exactly what Matt said, because we were all there. I had the whole cast there, the whole thing, even Peter Cooper was there that day, the Pam Ryan, the set. So I came back, and we asked him, and here's what Matt said. I'm not going to say exactly. He said, well, blank, blank, David Falk, just say Peter said it. So we just said Peter said it. So I'm serious. But David did use those words before Peter said it, but Peter created it. So that's what I'm saying.
Incredible. Was Matt Damon a nice guy when you met him?
Unbelievable. And he's a huge, huge, huge basketball Boston fan. I mean, he is Boston bred, much more involved in sports than Ben. Much more. He loves the Celtics. He loves, he actually said, here's a good one for it. He went to the same high school as Patrick Ewing.
Wow.
4 years after Patrick. He grew up through that whole era of Georgetown basketball. I mean, when he introduced himself, I swear, the first 7 minutes was he told me about what a great fan he was. He told me this story here. He knew his high school coach. Matt, and they're two different personalities, obviously. I mean, and that's one. And they're the best of friends, and they're geniuses, both of them. Pam and I couldn't have had a better relationship with the whole staff and Peter Guber for, you know, believing, you know, in the story, because there was a lot of – I didn't never thought this story would be made. I had nothing to do with it. They called me, and they said, you know, we want to do it, and I was dubious of it all because there was sometimes that people – you know, cut me out of what I was quoted as saying. It was true. This, and I'll go to my grave with it being one of the seminal moments in my, you know, professional life.
It was unbelievably compelling, and it's a great story, and it changed the landscape forever. And there's other things, Sonny, that you've done that have changed the landscape forever. How about this? Because we've run out of time here. How about, and I know you're not yet really permitted to talk about the book, but how about you come back on next week? We'll talk about NIL. We'll talk about the Ed O'Bannon case, and we'll talk about your new book.
I would love that. Have my buddy give me a call. Let's do it anytime. I know that. I'll tell you what. Why don't you just call Wednesday of next week? So then Pam will know the schedule that HarperCollins gives me, because they got us.
You know, perfect.
I'll just do like one day. I want to do Pittsburgh. I want to do Trafford, Western Pennsylvania. That's where I grew up. And I'll forever, ever, ever be grateful to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Dapper Dan. The Dapper Dan created Sonny Vaccaro and Pat DeCesar. Pat was my partner, one of the greatest rock promoters the world ever known. And if no Dapper Dan, I don't know what I'm doing today. But it's the greatest and first All-Star game. So I'll get into that. I'm looking forward to it. So I'm more anxious than you are to talk to you next week.
Let's talk next Wednesday. Me, you, and the great Bob Pompiani. That sounds like a deal, Sonny. I appreciate you taking the time. You're out in L.A., right?
Yeah. Well, no, we moved to Pebble Beach.
Oh.
We live in Pebble Beach now. We moved our family up here. Pam has relatives. And, you know, so we've gone through some tough times these last year. So we're together up here. And I'll tell you what, it's cold up here and it's raining, but it's nothing like it is in Pittsburgh today. I've talk to all my traffic guys. They can't drive. They're waiting for airplanes to take off. But let me just tell you something. You know, let me say, I'm Pittsburgh proud and Italian-centric, and I'll be that way the rest of my life. So God bless you.
Thank you so much, Sonny, and happy birthday to Pam, and we'll talk next week.
That's a promise. Okay. Bye-bye.
See you, man. Wow. That was incredible. I mean, I can't believe it. I watch a movie like that yesterday, and we get access to the main character in the movie the next day on Jordan's birthday. And I had access, I told you, the Elvis Presley movie, the 1968 documentary on his appearance on NBC, when it just completely blew me away. How that was the real Elvis, like his musical roots come to life in one performance. And I got to talk to, because my brother-in-law happens to have been the PR person at Graceland. So me and my wife, after that documentary, called him up limits, and right from the horse's mouth. I mean, obviously he knows Priscilla Presley very well. We got all kinds of answers to our questions. And then today, we call up Sonny Vaccaro, who's just the main character of Air.
Just
what's
randomly.
What's tomorrow? What do we get tomorrow here? I can't believe this.
That was sweet.
He was great, wasn't he?
Great. And he, because I sent him a message, and he called me like immediately after I asked if he could come on the show, and just, you know, wanted a little know about me. And the crazy thing about it is his wife is from Youngstown. My mom is from Youngstown. They went to like neighboring high schools.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow. I mean, it's all coming together here, and I didn't know he had a book coming out either. So now we can do a thing on the book. I can write a column about the book. I could talk to that guy forever. We didn't even get into the NIL stuff, of which he was the kingpin of, practically. He's the first guy that got coaches paid the way they are,
yeah,
with endorsement deals in college hoops.
And he mentioned like the effect that like this has all been built up for, like, Caitlin Clark to be able to take advantage of too, he mentioned.
To be, yes, for athletes to have a personal stake, not just in salary, but with Jordan, the game changed because I want a piece of every sneaker forever. And then it looked like, hey, is that really a good deal, Michael? I don't know. And now it's, I think the number, it was at 40 million or 400 million. I know there's a big difference per year he gets from Air Jordan, which I started adding up in my head. If it was 400 million a year, you become a billionaire very quickly and a multi-billionaire very quickly just based on that without doing anything.
So he reportedly makes 5% of the brand's revenue, which makes he earned $256 million in 2022 alone.
Not doing anything.
Alone.
Not doing anything.
Nearly three times what he earned during his 15-year NBA career.
It's the greatest deal maybe ever, period. I mean, like Bobby Bonilla was a pretty good deal, but he's making pennies compared to what Jordan is. And
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.